Part four of the series, man. We've been doing it for 3 other weeks. Go back on there. I got some sad news. Week two, for some reason, we didn't get it hooked up, so it's not going to be on there. So that's why it's good to not miss church. Be like, well, I can always catch it on the web. Sometimes it don't work out. So now you weren't here week two? Oh, man, you missed it. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll try and catch you up and make sure you're up to speed with all of it. Go on there and check it out. Anyway, hopefully you've connected to the series and figured out some things about prayer and communication with God. And I had somebody this week say, you know what? I never thought about it that I don't do that great communicating with people. I'm kind of an awkward communicator. So for me to expect to go to God and feel totally different might be two different things. You know, some people are very eloquent. How many of you are very eloquent in how you speak? See, nobody raised their hand. At least you guys are all humble, right? That's like, how many of you got issues sometimes? Like, man, I can talk about all kind of stuff, but sometimes I just get tongue-tied, tied up, twisted. Sometimes in our prayers we do that too, and then we think God doesn't hear us. And so, but how many of you have ever done this? You've ever prayed something and God didn't answer it? Or you prayed something and God didn't answer it the way that you thought that he should. I think that happens a lot more than often. Oftentimes we pray this way and God answers it a different way. And we say, God, why didn't you answer our prayers? I know many of you at some point have prayed very passionately for someone who was sick to be healed. I mean, I've done it. I'm still in the process of doing it. We have some people in our church that are battling cancer and different things. And I want to see God's healing. I want to see them free from cancer. And then... Sometimes we pray for that and then it doesn't happen and they go to be with him. But let me share something with you on that. To stand in front of God is ultimate healing. There's no more sickness, there's no more death, there's no more pain. All those things are gone. So he answered our prayer, just not in the way that we wanted him to do it. Amen. Sometimes that happens. Some of you guys may have prayed passionately for a divorce. God save my marriage. I don't want to go there. Please help this. Please fix this. And it didn't happen. And then we wonder, God, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you answer that question? Unfortunately, it ended up in divorce and we don't know why. God, why didn't you answer that? I do know this. A lot of the prayers that I've asked and he didn't answer on subjects with relationships and things like that, it's because what? Because he has something better for me. And there was something else that he had to do. And his plan was totally different than what my mind could contain or could even know what I'm supposed to ask for. Some of us pray for family members to encounter Christ, to come to know him. Is that a wrong prayer? No, God wants everybody to come to him. So why the more we pray, the farther they seem to get from God? Amen? Sometimes that happens. And why is that? Man, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. But I do know what the scripture says on some things that the Bible is very clear about, that when we go to him in prayer, there are some things in our lives that can hinder our prayers. The scripture says that. There are some things in our life that we need to think about when we pray, when we go to God. And today I've got like 5, 6 things that I'm going to share with you. The first one that I want us to very clearly understand is that your relationships matter to God. Not just your relationship with him, but your relationships with his children matter to him. The way we treat one another. Are you forgiving people or are you holding grudges? Are you growing in your relationships in love, or are you allowing bitterness and different things to come in between you and his child? How many of you know we're all his children? Whether we've accepted him or not, we're all his children. We need to understand that. Jesus said this, Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. So I tell you to ask for what you want in prayer, and if you believe it, you will receive those things, and they will be yours. That's where everybody stops, right there. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 25 says this. It says, when you are praying and you remember that you're angry with another person about something, what does it say? Just be mean to them and don't worry about it, right? No, it says, forgive that person. Then he says this, forgive them so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. God's showing us by the words of Jesus clearly that when we're praying, our relationships matter that we have with other people. If you haven't forgiven somebody that wronged you, it appears that your prayers may be somewhat limited because the scripture is very clear about this, right? You cannot say that you love God while you hate your brother. But yet so many of us carry bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts and expect God to magically do whatever we ask him to do. Just give us these things. Trying to figure it all out. I equate a lot of things that happens in my life with my kids to my relationship with my father, or my life as a child to my earthly father, Pastor Cox. You guys know him. A lot of you do. Some of you don't. If you don't, whenever he's here, man, you need to get hooked up with him. He's a great guy. But I start thinking about this, and my kids, I love them. They're 5 and they're 8 right now, about to be 9 and 6. Beautiful little girls. They run around, probably tripped half of you this morning on their way back through. Sorry about that one. We're working on it. But it's one of those things that we, their relationship, how they get along with each other matters to me. And sometimes there's good things that would come to them and be a part of their lives, but it's taken away because of their relationship together. You know, sometimes we're driving down the road in the car and they're fighting in the back seat. And I become my mother and my father. Like, I will turn this car around. Y'all just don't. We will not. It will. Y'all never did that, right? Not. I did that, but we had to come to church this morning. So I had to. No, I'm just playing. It wasn't this morning. But it's one of those situations, one of those things that if you guys can't get along, we're not doing this. If you guys can't settle this and fix this and take care of each other the way that you should. Do you know what? In our lives, if we can't settle this and take care of these things the way that we should, love our brothers and our sisters in God, in Christ, and our brothers and sisters who aren't in Christ yet. Do you know what? If we don't love them and take care of them, they might never come to Christ. The lack of relationship costs some good things sometimes. Sometimes the prayers that we want to have answered won't be answered. Why? Because our relationships aren't right. Because we're not taking care of what he's put into our lives. We're not being a good stewards of it. Just as I'm their dad and it matters to me, our relationships matter to our Heavenly Father. How can we receive forgiveness again and again and again and again, but then hold the grudge against our brother and our sister? When you're praying sometimes and you're like, God, you're not answering my prayers, or it feels like you're not listening to me. Maybe you need to look at your relationships and get everything straightened out. Get everything right before you come to him. Are you sure that's true? Are you sure? Because that's just one scripture. How many of you know you can find a lot of doctrine that people put on just one scripture, right? Let me help you with this one. You say that's true. Guys, this one's straight to you. You ready? 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that you nothing will hinder your prayers. Guys, your prayers ain't being answered. Are you being a jerk at home? Are you not treating your wife with respect? Are you not taking care of what you should do? Wives, I'm hitting the guys right now, but it works both ways. It's a two-way street, right? It's a two-way street on that one. It's very, very clear. There's some things that can hinder your prayers. If your prayers aren't being answered, look at your relationships. Look at what's going on. Look at who you are. Relationships matter to God. That was number one. Number two, your motives matter to God. Your motives matter when you pray. James 4:3 says, even when you ask, you do not get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what it will give you, what will give you pleasure. You want what you want out of the situation. Your motives that you carry in prayer, they matter to God. We see this in the New Testament. We see examples over and over. The Pharisees, right? When they prayed, what did they worry about? How long was my prayer? Did you like how I did that? Aren't I articulate? It was very long. My prayers are better than your prayers, right? We see that over and over when we read about them and what they're doing and what's happening. And this is the thing. Their motives for prayer weren't to have a relationship with God. What was it? Check out how holy I am. Look at me. That was their motives in prayer. Their prayers weren't focused on God. How fancy was it? How long was it? You know what, God? What God says to that, I believe. Concerning your motives, man, I'm looking at your heart. Not what you say, not what you do. I'm looking on the inward. I'm looking on the inside of you. When David was being anointed, what did he say? Don't look at Eliab. Don't look at him. Everybody wants to pick him. He looks great on the outside, but I'm looking on the heart. You may not see, you don't see what I see in these people. You know what? God is interested in your motives. He sees your heart. You know, we teach our young people in our 25 and under, man, one of the things I teach them about relationships, most important thing, you know, because they're looking for a relationship. So how can you look for something you don't know what you want, what you're looking for? So we tell them, hey, you know, make a list. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is who I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for in the person that I'm looking for that God has for me, right? But you know what the number one thing on that list is that we tell them is? And the number one question was like, hey, I met this guy, or hey, I met this girl. Do you know what the first thing I asked them is? Are they in a relationship with God? Do they go to church? Where do they go to church at? Where do they go to church at? What's happening with them? Where are they at? Because you know what happens in our prayers? We do this thing with prayers, not just with relationships like this. We do this thing. God, this is what I want. Let's make it so that it works with your plan, right? God, your plan is that the two become one, that we're joined together, that we're going in the same direction. So God, make them want you and have a relationship with you so that I can be a part of that, right? Now, that's usually for younger people with relationships, but look, it applies the same principle across the board. God, I want this, I want this. Let me show you how it works. How many of you ever pray, God, let me win the lottery? Not you guys, I understand. Not you guys, that's not how it works. But it's like, God, I promise, man, you let me win the lottery, I'm going to give you half. And God's looking down saying, you ain't giving me 10% now. How are you going to expect to give me half when the time comes? Right? You ain't being faithful with what I put into your hand. So how am I going to give you something else that you ain't going to be faithful with? Which ultimately is going to destroy you, because it's going to take you to a place I didn't create you to be and set you up for failure. How many of you set your kids up for failure? I know you can't do it, but go try. Watch this. Not a good parent. Right? Good parents does everything they can to set their kids up to succeed. God does the same thing. Our motives matter when we pray. When we pray, it says, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Listen to what Proverbs says, man. Proverbs 16:2. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. I may want all these things for the right reason in my own mind, but selfishly underneath, I'm wanting it because it's going to take care of me. Our motives matter when we pray. So first thing, our relationships matter. Second thing, our motives matter. Let me show you this one, man. Point three. The way you live matters to God in your prayers. The way you live. I've heard people say this, that God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't have favorites. And that's very true. That statement is right there is very true. We're his children. He loves all of us equally. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He wishes that we would all come to him. He loves us all equally. Now, then they tack on a statement like this. Well, man, your powers are just as powerful as Billy Graham's prayers. I don't think they are. You have the same potential for prayer, for power in your prayers. You have the same access to God as anybody else has. But how many of you know that the relationship determines where you're at, what's happening? The relationship has to say this. Am I living the life that you created me to live? Am I being who you created me to be? Am I doing what I say that I'm going to do? Or am I something different? James 5:16 says the power of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Guess what that means? Doesn't say this. The prayer of an unrighteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a contemporary Christian is powerful and effective. The prayer of a casual Christian is powerful and effective. It says righteous. And I get it, man. None of us are righteous until we come to relationship with our Father through what Jesus Christ did for us. The only way. But in my mind, let me give you an example of how that works, right? I got two people, they come to me and they ask me for money, right? Two people are coming and asking me for stuff, right? One guy, there's two different guys. These are fictitious, so don't be like, oh, I know who that guy is. No, y'all don't know because they don't exist, all right? So what happens is these two guys come to me, all right? And one of them says, hey, man, I've got these issues. I can't pay my bills. I've got this going on and this going on. It's like, well, what about that job that you went for? What about that? He's like, you know what? I'm too good for that job. That job was beneath me. I really, you know, I'm looking for a better job than that one. That one's not what. And then the last time I let him have some money, last time I took care of him, he went out and spent it on what he wanted, his hobbies, his sports, his addictions, his whatever. and didn't do what he said he was going to do with it, right? Then I got another guy that's working two jobs, busting his tail to do everything he can to take care of his family. He's falling behind and comes to me and says, man, I need some help. Last time I gave him money, he went and did exactly what he said he was going to do with it. Who am I going to take care of? Who am I going to want to take care of more in that situation? The second one. The one that's going to do what he says he's going to do and going to be the best that he can be and do everything he can. And then what? Then I can help him with the rest of it. Do you know what? We sit back on our... We sit back and we say, God, you do all this stuff and I'm just going to sit here and not do what you've called me to do, not be a good steward of what you've given me, not take care of the things you've put into my life, but I still want you to answer every prayer and every need that I have. Wow. How does that work? See, God, it's not all about rules and regulations. It's not all about that. It's not all about do this, and then God loves you. And if you don't, he doesn't love you. He still loves you. But this is what his scripture says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to him must believe that he is, that he's God. And what's the next part of that? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not a rewarder of those that come to him every now and then or only when I'm in a bind. Diligently seek him. Are we doing that with our lives? Are we seeking him? We get even crazier with it when we go do this. We go out and we sin and we do all these things, and then we pray. We sow that seed of sin in our life, and then we pray for crop failure. Right, God, don't let all that come back to me. The Bible's clear, we reap what we sow. Forgiveness is there, but there's still consequences to what we've done. There's still consequences here on earth as to what happens. Again, man, I see God talking to me totally different than he probably really does. And I know probably different than he talks to you. But I see myself going to him with issues and problems that I have and say, hey, man, just please fix this, God. And he's like, well, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to forgive you, but you're going to have some issues to deal with. You're going to have some chastisement, right? The Bible says he chastises those that he loves. He disciplines those that he loves. Some things are still going to come, even though I've asked for forgiveness. I have a clean slate with him, but I still have things I have to deal with in my own life. Let me show you an example. I yell and get mad and jump up and down and scream, slam the door at my wife. I ask God for forgiveness. She ain't still happy, right? 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 That's a little, it didn't happen. It didn't, babe, it didn't happen. At least... didn't happen. At least I hope it did happen. Wait a minute. But that's what we do with God in our lives, right? We live our lives how we want, and then we say, God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to answer this prayer. Matt, I want you to do this for me. Why? Because I'm your child. Remember, you love me. Like, yeah, and I'm your father. What do you think about me? You love me. The scripture says this, Proverbs 15:29, but the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. It matters the way that you live. Let me say this and be very, very clear. That doesn't mean he doesn't hear you. If he didn't hear the unrighteous, none of us would be saved because we're all unrighteous, right? Does he want to rescue you and pull you out of the pit that you're in? He does. Does he want to be there in your time of need? He does. What I'm saying is that it appears on some level in the scriptures that the way we live affects our prayers and how they're answered. Our relationship matter, our motives matter, the way you live matters. Number four in your notes, the faith, your faith matters to God when you pray. Your faith matters to God when you pray. James 1, 6 and 7, but when you ask, you must believe and do not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind, so that the person should expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's kind of harsh right there. Because it's not like, God, you're doubting me on this one, so I just ain't going to answer that one. It's not what it says right there. What does it say? It says he wouldn't receive anything from God. Anything. So what does doubt do? It removes what God wants to do in our lives sometimes. Our lack of faith, the things God has for us. Let me show you. I like to pull it over into practical. So I'm teaching my kid, Sydney, when she's almost two. How many of you put your kid in a pool at a really young age and probably would be in trouble by most count. Okay, not you guys, but I mean, she's like 18 years old, like 18 months old, almost 2 years, something like that. She's got her floaties. She's got floaties on, so don't. But she's been in the pool and floating around, and she wants to go jump off the diving board because all the older kids are jumping off the diving board. It's just us and some older kids and a family. So she wants to jump off the diving board. She's little, can hardly talk, little. And so what do I do as a dad? Well, get up there, kid, go ahead, jump. And she didn't want to. So I said, you know what, I'll get in here and you just jump to me. And I said, do you want to jump? She said, yes. I said, we'll do it. She said, I'm scared, I don't want to. In little kid talk, you know what I'm saying? I'm scared, I don't want to. And I'm like, well, do you trust me? Like, yes, I trust you. I was like, well, then jump to me. And after a few minutes of us talking, I'm like, well, get off this diamond. No, I want to do this. Well, then jump. Well, no, I can't. I'm scared. Well, do this. I want to. I just can't. I just, do you trust me? So what happened? She jumped, right? Then what happened? The rest of the day, I'm treading water in the deep end because all my kids want to do is run around and jump and jump and jump and jump and jump, right? That's what I want to do. I can do this. I want to do this. You know what? God's waiting on you on some things in your life to jump, to trust him, to say, God, I know that you have me. I know that you're going to be there. And now I want to do it all the time. Jump. Faith has to be there. Faith requires action. Faith requires action. She had to jump in order to receive the good that was going to come from that. You know what? I think a lot of times in our lives, we're standing on the diving board saying, I want it, I want it, I want it. And he's like, get in there, get it. Go for it. Do it. And we don't jump. And because of that, what happens? Our faith, lack of faith, keeps us from the answers and the prayers or the answers to the prayers that God has for us. But we miss it. Our faith matters. I like how the Bible says that we have to come to God with what faith like what? Faith like a child. Why? Because they believe you. They just do it. We in our education and our wisdom have all kind of reasons why we can't do it. God, but don't you understand this, this, and this, God? He's like, I didn't ask you about this, this, and this. I said, jump. I didn't ask you about this. I said, jump. Am I father? Am I your father? Am I going to take care of you? Am I going to be there for you? Jump. Do it. God's waiting on some of us to jump this morning. Your faith matters. Amen. We need to understand that his word says this. With God, all things are possible. I want you to say that. With God, all things are possible. There's no limits to him. Let's don't put them on him. I love the story about these two guys that come running up to Jesus. They're blind. I don't know how they ran up to him and how they knew he was there. They were blind. You know, there's some stuff that you're like, how did that happen? Just go with it. It's in there. I know it's true, right? You know what? I guarantee you they heard everybody else yelling at him too. I guarantee it. But they came up to him, and it says when they went into the house, Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done. And what happened? Their sight was restored. That's Matthew 9, 29 and 30. Their sight was restored. We hear the woman with the issue of blood. If I can just fight through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, if I can just do this, then this will happen. What happened? Fought through the crowd, touched his garment. Somebody touched me. Seriously, there's a million people here who touched you. No, something was different and it was you. Your faith has made you whole. Yes. You know what? What do we need out of faith on? What do we need to do in order to put that faith into action in our lives? What do we need to do? Faith matters to God. Because this is the thing. The same God that did that 2,000 years ago is the same God that's answering your prayers when you believe that all things are possible. All things are possible. Your faith matters. Number five in your notes, the God's will matters. God's will matters. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask him anything according to his will, that he hears us. And if he knows, And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Now let me read the translation that everybody else has in their thing. So we have confidence that we can go and ask him anything and he hears us. And we can have whatever we ask and he gives it to us. You know what the difference in those two is? If we ask anything according to his will, we receive those things. According to his will. See, because this is the thing. Our mindset usually messes everything up and his fixes everything. Our mindset is usually small and localized to us. And his is vast and spans over everything. Now, future, present, past. Right? He's got it all and he's looking at it all and he's orchestrating it all. And just like how our body works when it shouldn't, just how a bumblebee flies and there ain't no way it's supposed to, right? Y'all know that, you science people? Like, there's no way a bumblebee should fly, but that sucker was flying everywhere around in flowers yesterday, right? Tell him he can't do it. Nobody told the bumblebee, right? Well, who told you God can't do it? Come on. Who told you that you can't do what he called you to do? Amen. Why did you listen? So if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. A lot of people have been taught for years, again, whatever you want, just go to God and it's there. Okay, tell you what, why don't you go to the Cadillac dealer, go put your hand on that car and say, God, I want this, this is mine. Then go tell the guys inside, God gave it to you. See how that works out for you, right? Right? See how that works out for you. It's not what's happening in this situation. It's not an ATM Jesus or ATM God. God's will matters. Let me show you what happens and how it worked in the scripture. Jesus is about to go die for me and you. He's in pain. He's sad. He says, God, I don't want to do this. If there's any way, let's read it. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, there he says, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. Let me not have to do, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But yet not what I want, what you want. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. See, that's faith right there to say, God, I really want you to do something here. But if you don't, I'm trusting you anyway. I'm putting it in your hands. I'm letting you do what you want to do in my life and through my life. And I want to step out of the way. I've heard some people ask, and I've been asking. I've asked this myself. Well, how come you pray for healing, and then you say at the end, but God, your will be done? That's showing a lack of faith. I don't think that it is. I think that that's me saying, God, this is what I want to happen. Just like Jesus said, I don't want this to happen. This is what I want to happen. I want you to free me from this. But if not, I'm still trusting you for everything. And I'm still going to follow you, and I'm still going to be there for you. And even if this deliverance, this thing doesn't come, I'm still going to walk through it. And even if it doesn't get answered the way that I think it should be answered, I'm still trusting you that you know the best and you're handling this situation. This is what I want, God. I'm believing you for it. And I know you can do it, but if you don't, I still trust you. I'm still believing in you. All of that being said, this last thing that I want to tell you, this trumps everything that I just said, right? This one thing is the most important. You guys ready for it? In your notes. You must have a real relationship with God through Christ for any of that to take place. Listen to this scripture. This isn't my opinion. This is scripture. John 9:31 says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. He hears them. Say, Pastor, man, I don't get this. Like I said, he hits repentance every time. He's listening. He still hears you. He still hears you, right? If you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you repent, he'll do it in a heartbeat. Right. That's why he sent his son for you and for me. But I'm absolutely convinced that there's churches all across the world full of people that know everything there is to know about religion, know all about church, know all about the right things to say, dress up really pretty on Sunday and Wednesday if they decide to show up, and they even go to their job and they put on their Christianese and they go through life and they have no clue who Jesus is and no clue who God is. But they wear it well. Wear it well. And this is the thing. It's not about religion, man. It's about relationship. It's about relationship.
Hallelujah.
I'm convinced there's people that look the part and talk the part, but don't connect to God. You want your answers to be, your prayers to be answered? What you need to do, you need to know who He is. You need to have a relationship with Him. God wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to know you. He wants to listen to you. He wants to speak to you in your life. But without His Son, there's a separation between you and Him, and that sin is what it is. He wants you to be free from it. His Son paid for it. Guys, you guys can come on up. I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. See, He's waiting for us to stop playing and to stop saying that we have faith. Stop saying that we trust Him wholeheartedly. Stop saying that we have a relationship with Him and dive in, man. And enjoy what He paid for, what He's given us.
Hallelujah.
He wants us to have it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You be honest and say, you know what, talking about this, talking about what you just said, thinking about my life, man, I see more and more that I'm just, I said a prayer one time, but there was no repentance. I didn't change. I didn't turn to Him. I didn't allow Him to be the Lord of my life. I said a prayer and said, oh, I'm good now. But I'm tired playing that way. And I want a relationship with my Father. Not I want the stuff that He has, the things that He'll give me, the life that's better. We all want that. But see, without the relationship, none of that comes to you. Without the relationship, you can't have the rest of it. And I'm going to tell you what. The bitterness, the unforgiveness, the hole, the thing that's missing in your life, it all comes because you're lacking a relationship, and He needs to be there. He wants to be there for all of it. Not just when you need something, not just when you're in trouble, but through all of it. And how does that happen? How do we get that? Through having a personal relationship with Him. Not a, I'm going to use you when I need you, God. As we're thinking, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody in the place looking, please. You be honest and say, you know what? When I think about where I'm at right now, I see more of a religion. I see more of a pretend than I do a relationship with Him. And I'm ready for a relationship. I want to know my Father. I want to be in His presence. You be honest and say, you know what, that's me. Just put your hand up and put it back down. I want that relationship. Thank you. Anybody else? I want that relationship. This is the thing. It's not about a prayer that you say. There's nothing, there's no certain way, because I can talk all day long, but what did I say earlier? Actions speak louder than words. Giving your heart to Him is what you do. Giving your life to Him is what you do. Turning from your old ways is what you do. I'm just going to say this prayer. I don't want you to say it with me, but then the action comes. Dear Heavenly Father, repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you want a relationship with me, that you love me enough to send your Son so I could have a relationship with you. I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. Help me live the life that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed one more second? Some of you got some relationship issues, some unforgiveness in your heart towards other people. And you're ready to get rid of that this morning. You're ready to lay it down and say, you know what, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive, and I'm not going to pick it up. I'm not going to be angry when I hear their voice or when I see their phone number on the phone. I ain't going to get mad already. I'm not going to talk bad about them behind other people and say we need to pray for them. I'm gonna forgive. I'm going to show the love that God gave to me, and I'm going to have freedom from this in my life. You got some stuff you need to get rid of, some unforgiveness, some bitterness you need to let go. I want you just to put your hand up and put it back down. Just put them up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just put them up and put them back down. Dear Heavenly Father, man, our life with you starts with forgiveness, Father. You forgive us. You give us freedom. God, help us forgive and give freedom to others. Allow us to understand that if we don't, Father God, it can keep us from you. Your plan, your will turns our whole life that way. And everything we see comes under the filter of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of hurt. God, we want to let it all go. We want to forget about those things and move towards you, Father God. And in doing that, doing so, help us to forgive. Help us to be free, Holy Spirit, from this. We ask it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen and amen.